Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Lord, you are good, and you've heard the songs of praise that we have sung to you, and that last song we sang, I took those words to heart. I'd rather have you more than anything, because I've learned that you are more dependable and faithful than anything in this world. I just thank you for being an incredible God who never gives up on us. Sometimes we give up on you, we turn our back on you, we're not as faithful, but that doesn't change who you are. You are still there, pursuing us, loving us, embracing us and guiding us as you promised you would. Lord, as we look to your word today, we seek to understand what Jesus is teaching and how we can apply that right here and right now. Help us not only to understand your word better, to understand you better, but help us to understand ourselves better and each other better. Because in doing so, we can let our light shine. And we can help others shine as well. And so guide us as you so faithfully do. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, take your New Testaments and turn to Matthew chapter 5. We've been camping out a little bit in Matthew chapter 5. Just a couple of verses here that are very important. This is a busy day. There's a lot going on today. It's the Lord's Day, it's Father's Day, it's the first day of summer, it's also National American Eagle Day, did you know that? It's National Ice Cream Soda Day, it's National Turkey Lovers Day, it's National Vanilla Milkshake Day, and last but not least, it is National Hike with a Geek Day. And the idea is to get the geeks in your life off their electronics and off their, you know, computer screens and take them outside and help them discover this big, beautiful world that we live in. So there's a lot going on today. However, the most important thing in that list is that it is the Lord's Day. We must honor God and this day that He's given us. And so I'm so thrilled to be able to do that with you. In church. Matthew chapter 5, these words of Jesus are so penetrating and so important. And I've told you before, I'm a red letter guy. I love the Bible, but I'm really drawn to the words of Jesus. He's the man. He's it. The things you say to me are important, but there are no more important words that I can receive than the words of Jesus. His words are truth. His words are timeless. His words are life. And so I have to elevate the words of Jesus in my life more than any other word that I hear. Today is the first day of summer, and I hope you have your summer reading list, some books planned for your summer. I ordered a couple books. They just came in a few days ago for my summer reading. I'm so excited. This is volume one of Jesus Christ, His Life and Teachings. This is volume one. This is 532 pages of pure gold about Jesus Christ that I'm going to dive into starting today. But there's also two other volumes at home. But this is written by Alfavi. He's an Orthodox priest. And so I'm excited to learn more about Jesus from an Orthodox perspective. But I love Jesus. His words are timeless. His ministry, His message, His teachings, His sayings, His promises. Guys, we've got to hold on to Jesus as never before. And these words here in Matthew chapter 5, we've been kind of looking at for the last couple of weeks, are important for us. Matthew chapter 5, these words are crouched right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which was the greatest sermon that not only Jesus preached, but any preacher ever preached. But I want us to look at verses 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is saying to His followers, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, That doesn't make sense. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So this is what Jesus is saying. This is you. I just wish I was as thin as this, but this is you. And there's supposed to be a light here. If there's no light, something is wrong. But as we invite Christ into our hearts, He is the light of the world. He calls us out of darkness, and then He fills us with His light, so then we then radiate His light. Jesus says, let your light shine, right? No. He says, let your light shine. Bright. Bright. Don't hide it. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. So that others may see your good deeds. And not so much praise you, but praise your Father who is in heaven. Let me just say a few words about these good deeds. We live in a culture now where good deeds are few and far between. I mean, you turn on the news and all you basically hear and see are bad deeds. All the bad things that happened in the previous day, right? Well, this is an opportunity for you and for me and for the church to shine bright as never before. Much like you, I'm sure, I am on some social media groups in our community, Thurston area, Mohawk area. You know, people talk about whatever's happening in the community. 2 weeks ago, there was a lady sitting in Walmart just down the street, and I think she was breastfeeding. And she said as she was sitting in the car, she watched as some guy took his shopping cart and wheeled it to where they're supposed to go and put it in there. And on his way there, he grabbed another couple carts and put it there as well, too. You would have thought that this guy found the cure for cancer, the way that people were responding to this post. All he did was take his shopping cart and a few other carts, put it where it belongs, and people were like giving him accolades. Oh, thank you for doing that. You're so great. I hate when people don't do that. I mean, this lady's post got hundreds of likes and shares, and I was blown away. One little simple act of goodness, which is really not a big deal. It was as if someone won the lottery. And I got to thinking that in a world that's full of bad news and bad deeds and a lot of selfish behavior, it doesn't take much. It really doesn't. It doesn't take much for our light to shine, to do something simple, something good, that people who are noticing and watching will take note of and go, wow, there are still good people out in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? In a dark world, it doesn't take much light to shine. But when we do, people will take notice. And so Jesus is teaching here, let your light shine. Be who you are. And so what we've done in this series is we're looking at the four major basic personality styles that each and every one of us fit into one of these personality styles. And as we understand how we're built, as we understand how God has wired us and created us, we can shine the light of Christ in the way that He's created us. The first personality style that we looked at a couple weeks ago was the director. And I'm just going to do a brief overview of where we've been in case you've not been with us. But the director, this first personality style, is the type A personality. They're the go-getter. Just this morning, I met Rob for the first time. Never met you before. I think you're a type A, take charge kind of guy, right? I mean, I could just sense that right away. These are great people, and this is how God has wired them. They embrace change. They take charge. They're fast-paced. They're entrepreneurial. They have a direct management style. They're ambitious. They work well independently. They're passionate about life. They like their freedom. They tend to be dominant. They have good administrative skills. They're highly competitive. They have good delegation skills, and they're good multitaskers. These are the directors. They love to be in charge, and they love to direct. This is how God has created them. And Jesus is saying, if this is your type personality, shine for me. Take the gifts and graces and abilities and talents that I've given you and just use those for the kingdom of God and shine bright for me. Now, type A personalities do have weaknesses, like we all have. They can be stubborn. They can be workaholics. They can be impatient. They can be abrupt. They can be tough. They can become easily angered. They can be insensitive. They can have a short fuse. They can be intolerant and domineering. What motivates the type A personality? Typically, it can be money or opportunity or freedom or independence, challenges, urgency, success, and leadership. Okay, so that's the director. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And if that's you, shine for Jesus. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who you are and let those gifts that God has given you shine for the kingdom of God. The next personality style that we talked about last week are the dancers. The dancers. These are the enthusiastic, fun-loving, persuasive people that are easily liked by others. They're friendly, they're charismatic, they're big idea kind of people. They're motivators, they're dreamers, they're lighthearted, they're very people-oriented, they're spontaneous, they're self-confident, they're gifted, much like our worship team. They're the life of the party. They're the Lucille Balls that I talked about last week. But that type of personality also has weaknesses. They can be too self-involved. They may try to take on too much at once. They can be impatient, sometimes unrealistic. They have trouble being alone. They have a difficulty finishing what they started. They have short attention spans. They can sometimes come across as arrogant and cocky. They can become easily bored, self-indulgent, prone to sweeping generalizations. They can become impulsive. They can be procrastinators, and they can be whimsical. What motivates the dancer? Public recognition. They thrive on that. Awards, plaques, certificates, having pictures taken with celebrities, succeeding, especially beyond their peers, being the center of attention, public speaking, directing. They love acceptance. They want acceptance. And they are into the latest styles and trends. And so if you're a dancer type personality, you have gifts that I don't have. And that's okay. But let your gifts shine for Jesus. I look at a lot of musicians who are just incredibly talented, or actors, and they have tremendous gifts. And I often think to myself, how could God use that type of personality to shine for Him if they just give their life over to Him? Today we want to talk about the third personality type. And by the way, we all have bits and pieces of all these personality traits within us. It's just there's one personality type that tends to be the dominant that arises within us. And the third, the next one, is the detailer. These are the logical type people. These are the Mr. Spocks, okay? That's illogical, Captain, you know? These are the personality types, and several of you have asked, Pastor John, what are you? What are you? I think this is my dominant personality trait, but we'll see. These people are detail-oriented individuals who like to be involved in things that are controlled and stable. They're interested in accuracy, rationality, and logic. People who can't seem to control their emotions will bother the detailers, because these type personalities believe that being emotional makes objectivity difficult or perhaps impossible. The detailers tend to dislike being around people who are just full of hype, since They desire facts, accuracy, and logic. Other people's emotions may not be a priority for them, as they tend to strive for the facts and then let the chips fall where they may. So these are your scientists. These are your thinkers. These are your analysts. These are your perfectionists. If this person was a cartoon character, this would be Linus from Peanuts. This person would be Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. If this person was a biblical character, this person would be Moses. And that makes so much sense. If you turn to Exodus chapter 3, so here's Moses out in the desert, and he sees this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. So being the logical-minded person that he is, by the way, how did he end up in the desert in the first place? He killed a man, right? And so logic to him dictates, I better get out of here, otherwise I'm going to be next. So that's how he ended up there in the first place. His rationality took him there because of an irrational act. Although in his mind, he thought it was a rational act because he saw injustice being done. Then he's out and he sees this bush that's burning, which is very, it doesn't make sense. I mean, think about it. If you're a scientist, you're a thinker, you're an analyst, and you see a bush that's on fire, you're going to try to figure out what is the cause of this, what's causing this. And so that's what got his attention in the first place. That's how God got his attention. But then the dialogue between God, Yahweh, and Moses is fascinating in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. I won't go through all of it. But God says to Moses things like, hey, I want you to go to Egypt because I'm concerned about the suffering of the Hebrews, and I want you to go deliver them. And so being the logical kind of person that Moses was, he's trying to make sense of this because it makes no sense. He says, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then God answers him. And then he says, well, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am who I am, sent you. And then Moses is saying things like, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? You know, he's trying to make sense of this irrational request that God is making of him. And then God says to him, well, take this staff and throw it on the ground, and it turns into a snake, and God proves his power in that way. But then Moses says, well, I'm not a good speaker. I stutter, and you want me to go speak in front of Pharaoh? And then God says, well, I'm going to send to speak for you. And so you can see Moses trying to make sense of this whole strange thing that's going on. And so I think Moses was a detailer. That was his dominant personality trait. These are their strengths. They thrive on accuracy. They're creative. They're dependable. They have a great imagination. They're independent. They're detailed. They will follow through on what is required of them. They play by the rules. They're organized. They're intelligent. They're analytical. They're critical thinkers. They thrive on quality control, and they're very thoughtful. Now, they do have weaknesses. They worry about progress. They can appear unsocial. They are very critical of other people's behavior. They like to do things their way. Their behavior can be detached. They can see that the glass is half empty. They can be skeptical and disbelieving. They may feel like they never have their expectations met, and they can appear disengaged. Why is it so important that we try to understand each other's personality traits? Because I think it will diffuse a lot of the issues that can come up. If I understand your dominant trait and you understand my dominant trait better, then we can step back and go, okay, this person's not just irritating me just for the sake of being irritable. I have to understand what's going on with this person. Let me give you an example of something that happened just this last week. Renee sent me to the post office. She had 3 pieces of mail that needed to be sent. So I went to the post office to get some stamps. Stamps are 55 cents a piece. Here's my detailer side coming out. That's $1.65. I remember when stamps used to be 25 cents. You remember that? Now you have to take out a personal loan just to mail some letters. So I go to the post office, Lady sees me, she says, I can help you. I give her the three letters, and I say, I'd like three stamps, please. She says, that'll be $1.65. I give her $2. She gets the stamps out, puts them on the envelopes, and then she looks at me and she says, thank you very much. And that was it. Well, I'm thinking, we're not quite done yet. This transaction isn't done yet. You still owe me 35 cents. But she had no clue. I looked into her eyes, and she honestly thought that the transaction was done. So I was starting inside to get a little upset, you know. But then I began to think about what I've been preaching on the last couple of weeks. Because not only do I preach these messages for you, I preach them for myself as well. As I was standing there, I went through in my mind, and this is my thought process. I guess the detailer side, the analytical side was coming out of me. I said, well, A, this woman really has no clue. Then I thought, maybe she's just having a really bad day. Maybe something horrible happened at home and her mind is just not at work. This is the last place she wants to be. And then number three, I thought, being a detailer is not her dominant personality trait. And so rather than getting rude or upset, which I try not to do anyway, I very kindly said, I think I need 35 cents back. She thought for a minute and she goes, oh, okay. And she gave me my 35 cents. But this whole process helped me understand her a little bit better and how I could respond in a way that I think was gracious and kind rather than, and we've all seen it before, we've seen people get mad and say, give me my money or what, you know, we've seen that. And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, I don't want to respond in a harsh, negative, ungodly way. I want to understand where she's coming from and then respond in an appropriate way. And I did say on my way out, I hope you have a great day. Thank you so much for serving me and mailing these letters for me. But if we can understand the way God has wired us, we can shine for Him. And if we understand how others are wired, we can help them shine for Christ as well. Because Jesus told us to light it up. What motivates the detailer? Control, opportunities to be independent and analytical, challenges, and problem solving. If you have a problem, find a detailer because they will help you think outside the box and find a solution for your problem. What are some common words or phrases that motivate or grab the attention of the detailer? Things like perfection. They will often ask, how does that work? They love the quiet and the solitude. And they will often ask, well, tell me more about this. What are some turnoffs, dislikes, and fears of the detailer? Uncontrolled emotions, irrational acts, indecision, people who are self-centered or ego-driven, loss of control, being subject to control or supervision by people they don't trust or respect, and distractions or distracting people. What kind of jobs are the detailers drawn to? Things like forecasting, troubleshooting, critics, investigator, police or crime scene or a private investigator, engineers, technical support, research scientist, game designer, data analyst, pilots, programmers, analysts, artists, musicians, accountants, inventors. And what does the detailer personality trait look like when they are working? Well, they're very detailed oriented, they're very logical, and they're prepared. If you have a meeting with them, they will show up and they will be prepared. This type of personality tends to be quite controlling, both of themselves and others. They don't like things to get out of hand and may not appear very expressive at times because they don't really want to display a lot of emotion. They're very outcome driven. And will be sticklers for following procedures and protocol in getting the job done. They're careful, resourceful, and above all, excellent thinkers who will look at all aspects of an issue before taking a stand or making a decision. And once they take a stand on an issue, they will have the facts and the data to back it up so that anyone who challenges them had better be prepared. They like their jobs to be clearly defined and they want to know exactly what's expected of them. Knowing these facts, they will be able to prioritize their tasks and see them through to completion. When in decision-making roles, they're cautious and logical. They require many details and facts before making a decision. People who try to sell them something by trying to get them emotionally involved usually fail. This type of personality would consider such an effort to be hype and would wonder what facts the other person is trying to hide. This type of personality is excellent for any job that requires creative thinking based on patience, facts, and accuracy. Are you a detailer? Is this your personality? Is this how God wired you? Jesus says, take your personality, take how God has so beautifully and meticulously created you and crafted you, take your personality and light it up. Be who God created you to be. Don't apologize, don't shy away from it, but say, God, this is who I am. This is how you've gifted me. And I want my light to shine for you and for the kingdom of God. You see, we're all different. In many ways, we're alike. But we all have strengths and weaknesses that distinguish us. And we should not allow the differences to grate on us or to irritate us. As we grow in Christ, we should allow the differences among us to make us stronger. So that if you're not a detailer, make sure you have one in your life because you're going to need one. And if you are a detailer, you're going to need a director in your life. You see, we need each other. And together we shine brighter for Christ than we would alone.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.